VentureCast.
Welcome to the Quantum Leap Your Business and Life podcast. My name is Bethany London, and I am an energetic VC supporting CEOs and entrepreneurs in multiplying revenues and opportunities of their business through intuitive guidance and energetic healing. I am obsessed with finding and releasing blocks so that you can start receiving the guidance and opportunities that will be bringing you quantum leaps with ease. If you are looking to upgrade your business, life, spirituality, or need a perspective shift to flow, you've come to the right place. Leave it to me to pull out the juicy stories, quantum leap hacks, and how our inspiring guests have tackled obstacles and gotten into the flow to reach new heights of success. My intention is to bring clarity and massive awareness that infinite possibilities are everywhere. Your next moment could be a miraculous one. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Let's uncover their strategies, have fun, and see how we can quantum leap together. All right, welcome everyone. We have, I don't even know how to say your last name, Boisard.
Boisard.
Boisard. Okay, Jerome Boisard. I have been connecting with Jerome for over 2 years now, almost weekly, and so excited to have him on London Heights Healing, Corporate Healing Team. And I thought it would be beautiful. I got the download last week to start interviewing all of our team to share the amazingness that they are and allow people to really get to know us. So, Jerome has quite the extensive background. He's also extremely intuitive. He will pull stuff out of like sometimes you might just be walking throughout the day and you have a random thought and you just brush it off and you don't even think twice about it. You don't give it any energy. And then all of a sudden I'll be talking to Jerome like 3 days later and he's like, oh, I'm getting this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I did have that like random thought just come in and pop out. He's so good at just grabbing little nuggets, and he's also phenomenal at sharing stories, and he has a beautiful voice because, you know, he's in the UK, so we love the accents here in America. So yeah, Jerome, why don't we talk about, I know your journey is long and wide, but like the business journey.
Hello from London. So just to say, I'm French and half German, so the accent might be mixed. So anyway, what accent you feel you hear, it's okay. From the business perspective, my journey has been varied, to say the least. I've always been very curious and very excited by discovery and learning. So I've been working in several different businesses, but always drawn towards helping others or changing things. So the recent one, I've qualified like as an osteopath in 2010. I've been practicing this activity mainly in the last 12 years, but also keeping open other activities I had before, because I'm qualified as an environmental engineer with a specialty in waste management and sustainable development. And also I've been coaching, helping, developing businesses, buying, selling, transforming, optimizing structures, and worked in politics a bit. So that's a sort of quick approach to the fact that I'm really curious and really open to discovery, but also have dipped my toes in a lot of things. So sometimes jack of all trades, but also mostly a sort of Renaissance man approach with knowing a lot of things about a lot of things, which allows me to have quite a bit of a strategical and tactical point of view, which helps a lot in coaching, either personal coaching or business coaching, and most of the time, both of them, because I work on the side as a business coach. And I say on the side because my mental osteopathic work is taking most of my time. But most of the people I coach business-wise, we always end up seeing the link between their personal life and their business life and helping them to cross some thresholds that were not visible at first. And that's quite interesting because suddenly people can find what block them or what helped them, and then move on certain things. So that's it for a short approach.
No, but it's so true. And just see where this goes. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend that I haven't talked to in a million years, who used to work at Google. And she was saying how at Google, it's almost like everyone's just there for the job and to get ahead. They aren't really there for the product. And there's not a lot of connection. There's a lot of, the forward face, it's not really what's inside. And then in hearing about the CEO, I don't even know his name right now, of Google, but that he is very much not wanting to connect with people, right? So I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, right? And he keeps everybody at arm's length, probably because he's also getting hounded by people left and right wanting things, which I understand. But it really felt from what she was saying that like the ripple effect trickling down is that like zero connection throughout, you know, the company. It's all about numbers, profits. Where are we going?
Yes.
Any thoughts on that? I figure because we're talking about the business owners and how it's like their personal lives or how they are is really trickling into the business.
I think there are two interesting things with the example of Google. Google is a business that grew with a culture that became something else. And I know a few people in Google too. And for me, when I connect to them and I look at the structure, we have a teenager business that talks like a teenager, but acts like a very old person and almost a sort of DVLA office, with a lot of rules and mechanical things. So there is a bit of a schizophrenic issue in Google, where on one side, it's supposed to be the creative place on earth. And on the other one, it's basically a modified ad agency that makes its money on ads and looking at numbers and analyzing data. And the people working here, the one I know, range from the total dreamer that wants to change the earth with Google Earth approach and stuff like that, to the people fascinated by data. And I think this mishmash is creating an interesting traction that can give us the interesting moonshot projects they have, but also a very, very heavy admin orientated structure. And therefore, probably why the new CEO has this profile. Because I think the machine is winning, the machine is taking over, the data churning, and therefore the humans inside might suffer because you might have more dreamers than in a normal business. So it's probably a difficult moment for the structure, which will find its way. But I think they have the CEO they deserve right now. It might make people unhappy, but it's pretty much where things are going. So that's my take on.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just that, I mean, that's such a beautiful perspective too, like the machine's taking over, right? I just wonder if, you know, someone like us were to work with someone and really pull the heart out and the connection piece, how that would shift the company. I guess that was the vision also that I was having.
It's an interesting one because as you know, with this sort of work, it's the moment where the person is in. Are they ready to see? Are they ready to accept? Are they ready to change? And it doesn't mean you have to, but you have to be in this position where you think something can happen and you need to be taken by the hand. And in companies, as you well know, there is the energy of the CEO, but then there is the energy of the company, the sort of spirit of the company, the thing, the story, the accumulation, and all that. So I think it's always interesting to come in and then realize which energy has been taking over for the time being. Is it the company that expressed this energy, like I feel Google is at the moment? Or is it a CEO that expresses this energy? So if we take other example, we have Elon Musk, we have Steve Jobs, we have people who were above the business in terms of characteristics. We don't say Google and we forget the name of the CEO, which we do with Google. With mm-hmm. Tesla, we won't. We say Elon Musk, that happens to have Tesla and a lot of other things. So therefore now the CEO is above the company. And this dance is quite interesting because when you come in and have a look, you can feel that very quickly and therefore know which part you want to help with first. And most of the people don't realize their company has an energy level, or if we push it, a form of soul, that is the aggregation. In Latin, the word is egregor, and egregor is normally used for religion. It means all the people praying at the same time in the same direction with the same will. And that creates an energy you can feel and probably interesting to work on. The thing is, when you come in as a coach and work on intuition in businesses, people don't really realize that's a part of the business they can work on. And it's interesting to keep that door open because most of the time you will then be driven or pushed or even asked to just work on the ego of the CEO or the responsible person. And that will short mm-hmm. if in a situation the responsible person is not actually the one driving the main energy, not the volcano, the bursting. And that's what I find exciting, because sometimes you just say, oh, and this and that, and this practice and this thing, and they're just like, oh my God, this is what I do to them.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience has been in that.
Well, and what's also coming up for me is this that I learned more recently around, I think it's in, maybe it was Ukraine, like in Ukraine, they don't have the word opportunity, they have the word only possibility, and it's one of the same. So here, when we have the word opportunity and the word possibility, opportunity could have a little bit of a negative context because it could be taken advantage, which I know I talked about in one of the last podcasts. And so opportunity in the form of being a possibility and everything coming from possibility takes you out of the need for competition, which is a lower vibration, versus mm-hmm. creating out of creation. So when you're creating products out of more inspired creation, which is to me very divinely guided, intuitive, and a completely different energetic level versus we need to create something to compete with so-and-so, that's like a lower vibe. So I thought that was really cool insight.
I find it interesting because I just heard yesterday a question from someone who is also working with intuition and the law of attraction and all these sorts of manifestation visualization. This mm-hmm. person was saying, if two people working with the law of attraction in mind are visualizing for the same thing, who wins? And it was a very interesting question because for me, it was just like the universe is infinite. So yeah. both will win because both will manifest and visualize something. But yeah. there was this sort of questioning about, oh yeah, if you can basically do a form of weird magic, then you can have what you visualize. Then if I have the same, will I win or will you win?
Yeah, and it's no funny one to needs see to that. Lose yeah, out on go their goals.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the same thing with that business thing and opportunity where in business, especially in the last 200 years, we have been orientated more and more into a very much survival of the fittest opposition competition. Whereas the whole history of humanity, every traces we have is only talking about cooperation and working together and sharing the burden and sharing the profit when we can, but sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. And therefore, most of the businesses will be trying to find their competitive edge, their competition position, the CEO, you feel attacked and feel defensive. And that is also something in a way you can help, we can help with by showing them the real energy behind it, the service they're providing, and therefore what they are sharing with others and the cooperation they can put in place. Businesses are changing, and especially because of the online change that has been accelerated by COVID, where more and more people are now accepting to share information on video like we're doing now. Whereas 5 years ago, if you did that sort of interview, you would have insisted for us to be in the same room and physically there, and now operate or joint venture or do things with others and have more benefit in business and real things from it without having to compete. That's not the only option. It's one of them, but not the only one. And that will impact the work you can do with people who haven't realized that this option is on the table, and therefore the possibility is there. And not just, I see an opportunity, I take it, I'm the first, I'm pushing everyone on the way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting too, because then we can talk about all the male energy that has dominated the last 1,000 years plus, and that is slightly changing through a rebalancing to a more complex, open world. And that's also a big hope I have of more of the said female energy, and bear with me, I'm not trying to define it as strictly binary, but a more cooperative, open, constructive energy, and not just I win, I kill you, and I take it all, which is good, because there is more and more of that in business, slow progress, but still, it's now something that is accepted. I can say that now without being seen as a bizarre person, which would have been the case 30 years ago, right, or 50 years ago. And that's also good for the work we do, because again, intuitive business coaching is not something that intuitively will be received by everyone. It's like, business is serious. I'm a serious person. I work on number. I crunch data. Intuition is for women. And, they feel their emotion, their guts, and then eventually they end up in special asylums for crazy women. I'm summarizing Victorian times, but this is probably what Victorian times was. There is a funny story about asylum for women, is that it took almost 20 years for the first male to be admitted to an asylum for crazy people. The first 20 years-ish were just women, with this famous illness that has been invented for women called hysteria, which was the theory that the uterus of a woman was traveling in her body and therefore made her crazy. And a crazy woman was talking what she was thinking about. She was opposing men. She was wanting to vote, stuff like that. So hysteria is the theory, and it's written on paper, you can check it, that your uterus as a female, diabethany, is regularly taking trips to your head, to your lungs, and that makes you crazy, and then therefore you're hysteric. You need to be sequestrated in a prison.
Confined. Wow. Ugh.
So that's the part of the storytelling I like to do, just jump from A to B and find different energies on the way. So I'll give you back the questioning.
Well, I think also what we do is really getting down to the magic. And I know that's not so much a corporate world word, but getting to the magic and the root of how things are with the owner, the business owner, the CEO, the founder, or the board of advisors, and how that ripples down. Because when you can get to the magic and the inspiration and that spark, then it's a completely different energy. And when you shift that foundational energy, everything else kind of starts to fall into place. I mean, we talk about like the elephant in the room or stuff like that. That is all metaphorically energy that we're speaking of, or weight on your shoulders, energy. Like everything is energy. And the faster, quicker that we transfer it to, people are like, I can't profit that way. Like, yes. Companies have doubled their revenues in like 2 months by shifting energy. So there's a huge possibility.
It's interesting because, energy in most of the business is limited to power, hierarchy, so who is boss and who is not, and then money, which is one form of energy that is easy to count and easy to get and easy to lose. But it's there, it flows. It's what I found fascinating is that you can have very, very, very logical CEOs being completely fascinated by people like Sir Richard Branson, who is doing magic all the time.
Oh yeah, I love him.
Inventing businesses, changing stuff, doing stuff, being completely what he says he is, which is neurodivergent. He's a neurodivergent. He's special. But he does stuff like he wants. It's like, yeah, I want to create a company that goes to space. Before that, I just bought an aviation company that happens to be Virgin Atlantic. I did Virgin Media. I did Virgin Banking. I did this and that. And that's it. It happens with magic. And people are fascinated by that and not seeing that they have the same potential. But for me, that kind of magic is in the business world is summarized in expect the unexpected, but in a good way. Because most of the businesses expect the unexpected, but in a bad way. So they're trying to do some routine, some blah, blah, and then just like, oh no, we can't do this niche. You have to exploit the opportunity. But then the magic is sucked out. It's really strong. And because the businesses are not looking at the emotional part of decision taking, they can be hamstrung, they can be limited, and therefore not have the courage. Because the opposite of the courage is not cowardice. The opposite of the courage is conformity. And therefore, magic becomes something dangerous in a way, even though we can't define what magic is, but this is this moment where things happen that shouldn't have happened, but in a good way. Because I prefer white magic than black magic. So it's in a good way.
Yes, please. Well, and Richard Branson, he definitely had like tons of people coming at him that were like, no, you can't do this. But he was like, this feels good to me. So he followed what felt good to him, what he wanted, what he desired. Exactly. And he ignored the naysayers. And sure, there were failures or whatever, but like he found the joy in it all. And I think that in itself is magical.
And one thing I find magical is that we all have that, because a magical mindset is the mindset we had and still have as a child. When we were 5, 6 years old, one day we were an astronaut, the other day an explorer, the third day a nurse to take care of a horse. If your parents told you it's not possible, you would just climb the tree and make it possible. So we all can as adults go back to this childish state and suddenly create, which is what this example, Sir Richard Branson, does. He just says, I want to do that. And of course, people around with spreadsheets are saying, oh, it's not possible, blah, 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 and this and that. And this is what I really like about the work I do around businesses, especially helping them to change or purchasing them and turning them around, is that you discover that most of the businesses are led without vision or without magic or without something special that they could do with what they're offering as a service. It's a bit like everyone is sitting on the gold mines of their dreams, but not daring to do it, or having too many people around say, oh, that's not going to be possible. And it's really strange, because in other places in our life, like dating, for example, we tend to not do that. We would go and meet someone and just say, okay, let's see. We won't be sitting there and say, hello, my name is, and by the way, I would like to get married tomorrow. And then we would also have an insurance on our both name. And then you'll need to like my mother. And eventually the preferred color of my car is red. And then the magic is gone. So this is this sort of risk-taking that I really like, because once you ignite it in others, and it doesn't take long to ignite because everyone has it. It's just fear, terror, and all that keeps us away from it, which is normal. Our brain is protecting us. The brain doesn't want us to fail or to die. So for some business people, losing a market, losing a client, or having a bad profit and loss sheet is equivalent to a form of death, symbolic one, but though sometimes a form of death, because they get fired or whatever, or they get a bad reputation in certain businesses. Reputation is everything you have. So they dare not go there unless they are shown that there is a safe way to go there. And this is where we can help, because another way I see our job is to be the jester in the courtyard. The jester was the person, the only person in the kingdom that could say the truth to a king without losing their head straight away after that. So being a jester is a way to say things to powerful individuals, with them understanding that we are opening a door to another reality without making them change their power or threatening their position. And that's also the comfortable position you can have when you come in and go out of the business with an advisory mm-hmm. role, is that you can play that role. But instead of coming in like one of these big firms and being saying, this is the new system that will save you, and this is a new spreadsheet that you will fill, and you know that in 6 months' time, you're going to call another business to do exactly the same. We're more about, yeah, look, this is, have you seen that? You know, Alice in Wonderland, have you tasted this piece of cake that makes you make bigger? And then have you drunk this potion that makes you smaller? And eventually you'll go through this door, but it will go up and down in trial and error. And therefore they can play again with this childish energy, but in a good way, to discover that actually they have dream, they have fear, they have potential, and they could drive this business to places where it hasn't been. And therefore, suddenly double, triple the income. Not because they did something with a new methodology and they changed a button color or had a new spreadsheet. No, they just said, wow, I didn't see that. Let's go there. Or wow, we didn't do that like that. So let's do that.
Yeah.
And because
it's nice to have, I think, a fresh set of eyes that, yeah. especially ones that are intuitive, looking at things from a different lens. So good. Well, I think that definitely shares what you're all about. I think we should spend a couple minutes on intuition and energy healing and how we work, which is very different per mm-hmm. individual. But in the way I work versus the way Jerome works, how do you, what are your thoughts? How do you work?
Oh, the way I work, is going back very far as I can remember. I didn't know at that time it was intuition, and I didn't know it was work. I don't think it's work actually, but it's, I'm a very visual and kinesthetic person. So I see things. And for example, when we work together, you know that I will see things, I will describe things, I will tell stories. They're normally quite dreamy. There are things that are not real or real, but they are always touching something in someone else's mind, because they're just like, oh my God, I see this, I see that. Oh, I can feel what you describe and all that. So very visual and also very kinesthetic, where, and I think this is why I became an osteopath, is that through the touch, I can collect information on my osteopathic patient. But when I work with intuition, I can, in a way, manifest through my talk, the story I tell, the vision I have, also a feeling, a physical feeling in others, where they can also feel what's happening. So there is this kinesthetic feeling where you can feel the butterflies in your stomach, you can feel what's happening. So there is a strong link in seeing and moving people, which is, I think, my way to view things. When it comes to intuition itself, if I had to define why or what I see, it's not always the same things, but it always comes as a sort of vision where suddenly I have something and I keep it in my mind and I say, okay, this is what I saw, and I try to describe it. What I try to do systematically is to stay neutral. So yeah. I am here to take a picture, like with a photograph or with my iPhone, of what I saw, and describe it as simply as possible. Because it's very, very tempting for me as a seer to try to say, oh, and I think it's here, or try to interpret or try to deform it because I think I know the person on the other side. So I always have this thought, this is what I'm seeing. I hope it talks to you, but then I step back. And stepping back is actually also part of my intuitive work, because once I step back and I, in a way, it's like throwing a ball to someone and see how they reception the ball, like we would play tennis, how you hit it with your racket. And then I have another intuition depending on how you reacted to the image I send. So that's the thing. Seeing emotion, transmitting the feeling, the physical feeling, and then being as neutral as possible in delivering what I see, but also having second or third intuitive reaction depending on how you react, which is nice because it gives me also intuition not only from the air, from something, but on the way you react. And this is something I've been using a lot in several of the professions I've done, in emergency services, in extreme sports, in politics, where I could react as we go to others with intuitive states. So feeling things that can't be seen or talked about. And by the way, just to reassure everyone, I'm not reading minds and I'm not,
we have like an intention set and a goal set with our clients, and then whatever happens and shows up is what we
What I normally tell people is that what I see is what they're ready to share, because it's a bit like when you want to say something and you're waiting for your turn and it's coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's mainly what they want to share that comes out first. So it's more an assistance to delivery of a message that they cannot formulate with voice. Is that answering your question?
No, it's great. I think it gives some perspective. And I mean, there have been times when I'm working on Jerome and it's like I'm clearing a whole movie scene or a whole movie. And I'm like, oh, you're running through the river and your clothes are ripped and just trying to, you're alone, you're lost. So it's like I'm clearing the energy and just calling what I'm seeing, releasing until all of a sudden he's like makes it home safely into the arms of his family. Like that is a story that might come through. And we just clear until we get the story where we want it. And strategy might come through during that time too. A lot of times we'll work with clients and it's like epiphany after epiphany after epiphany, because we're clearing the space, we're shifting the energy. When we clear out the muck, if you think about people thinking all 70,000 negative thoughts a day or whatever it is, then that clearing allows for new thoughts, new possibilities to come through that are quite intriguing and inspirational.
They are indeed. And what is interesting, is that there is always a spark somewhere. We will stay and listen, whatever the intensity of light. And that's important to tell too, because some people expect a lot each time, you know, dazzle and frazzle or whatever you say in the US, but 4th of July fireworks. And sometimes they happen, but sometimes it's the mundane that makes the change. It's the little thing that is like a cork on a champagne bottle that pops and then suddenly poof, everything goes out. So it's interesting to work at different time and different energies on different people.
So fun. We love it.
Your intuitive childhood energy takes over and you start to notice things. And it's good. Because I believe we all have intuition. Good.
100%. And we all have different gifts to bring to the table.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was amazing and all over the map. Perfect, I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah, and happy to have you on and showing your face and bringing you out into the world, because the world is ready for you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to subscribe and let me know by leaving a review on iTunes. It fuels me to keep bringing you more guests. And if you aren't already following me on social media, check out @BethanyLondon and visit BethanyLondon.com for online programs and free healing opportunities, or our corporate healing platform, LondonHeights.co. Don't hesitate to tag me and our guests with your favorite quotes for a reshare. I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode. And in the meantime, wishing you that quantum leap.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
on this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid. Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the WannaBet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but WannaBet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.